Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Hello, good evening, and welcome everyone to Corner's Corner. Hello, Wayne.
Yeah.
You there?
Yeah.
Right, hold on. I'm having a glitch. I don't know what's going on. It's not showing you on live, but I guess you are on live. And there's Amber.
Yeah.
Hello, my friend. How are you?
Hello.
Amber Rose.
I'm here.
Hello.
Yes.
You're still
yes,
alive, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're still.
Yeah. Yeah, you're on. Okay. I don't know what's going on, but okay. You're there now. So, Amber, I know you've had an interesting week this week. but other than that, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. And I'm really excited to talk with your listeners about chronic pain and various disorders that seem to be mysterious and people can't seem to get the help they need. And I'm coming to bring some hope to all of your listeners.
Good. That's what we want. You know, we briefly talked about what we're going to talk about, and I'll let you take off with it and run. Like I said, it's very important for our listeners to understand that it does more than just help with Lyme disease and, you know, chronic pain. It, you know, the autoimmune diseases is really what I'm looking to, you know, the people that I'm looking to reach and help them understand better. So feel free. Have at it. It's all you.
Okay. Well, I basically started a free clinic 23 some odd years ago, sort of like I asked God for a sign, and I got it, and it became very clear that my mission was to use honeybees to sting people, and I started out, actually myself I had chronic pain, so I was actually going to see if I could get some relief from my chronic pain from a car accident, but most of the people who were at this, I would almost call it like Lourdes, it was a place where everybody was converging 3 days a week at this free clinic about an hour from where I lived, and I read about it in the newspapers where I went, and most of the patients had MS, and after about 2 weeks, the person who was running this clinic had MS herself, and she was getting a little burnt out because there was a little too much media attention. Like there was a huge article in the Washington Post, and and so, you know, all of a sudden all the TV cameras were there. And what happened was that I was the only licensed professional there. Everybody else was basically, you know, a layperson doing the bee stings. And so I got interviewed only because, you know, I've only been stinging people for 2 days, but I got interviewed because I had a license, you know. I have a license to lose, too, if I do something wrong. But
right.
But I learned from my mistakes, and I only make a mistake once. And then I learned very quickly. Sure. That's why I'm very careful, and, you know, one of the things that we talked about was safety and, you know, making sure that if people want to do bee venom therapy, that it's done safely. That's why I have a protocol, which is, it's a guide, it's a guideline, it's a map, the roadmap on a healing journey, almost like the Wizard of Oz. You know, we're all Dorothy's and Toto's, and we got knocked off balance, and we're just trying to find our way home again. But but basically, you know, so my first 4 years of the free clinic, which I actually had in my house when I started. Uh-huh. I didn't have any tweezers. I didn't have any bees. I didn't have a ramp, you know, that people were coming in wheelchairs and they had no way of getting in. But within a couple of weeks, everything came together. And, you know, I was just swamped. I was swamped right. with people. And I was actually in shock with how much, not just the BDNF helped me, but how much it mm-hmm. was helping everybody else. And then they kept sure. inviting their friends. And even people were coming in, like, handicapped taxis, and they were coming in scooters. They were coming in wheelchairs. The Red Cross was bringing them from nursing wow. homes. I mean, it was really tight. Yeah. And I got permission from all of my neighbors because I was renting this house, so I wanted to make sure that all my neighbors right. were cool with it and I wouldn't get in trouble. But eventually I ended up having not only an observation hive in my dining room, but three hives in my backyard. So I had plenty sure. of bees and a lot of success. And,
good.
You know, I've never in my 23 years of doing bee venom therapy, either on myself or other people, I've never mm-hmm. seen bee venom fail for any ailment. And I've treated mm-hmm. over 60,000 people in yeah. this period of time. And right. then they've gone on, some of them, to learn to sting themselves. You know, I might start mm-hmm. them off and then they went off to sting themselves. But some people didn't have anyone to help them. They were in a nursing home or a hospital or something. So they came to me in my free clinic. So mm-hmm. that's kind of how I started, though. But my first 4 years, I would say I was mostly dealing with chronic pain and autoimmune diseases. So, mm-hmm. you know, you would ask, like, which diseases? So I'm just going to make a little bit of a list here.
Sure.
Of my
sure.
memory. It was mostly MS patients, but then some of those patients ended up having Parkinson's too. Maybe they developed yeah. that along the way, you know, or it popped mm-hmm. up while I was treating them. Other people came, they heard about me, they came for ALS or Alzheimer's yeah. or, you know, chronic fatigue or infertility mm-hmm. or HIV. Sure. I did a whole, you know, whole research project and I studied 33 men, you know, who are right. HIV positive. And right. I did a whole presentation, a keynote speech on all my research on that, which is, that speech is in one of my books. But mm-hmm. but basically, I would say that what I've learned, aside the fact that bee venom therapy seems to work, it's, I say that the bees are God's little doctors. It's almost like you mm-hmm. sting someone with a honeybee, and that venom goes where it's needed most. So let's say, right. you know, I'm sure most of the people listening don't just have mm-hmm. tennis elbow. They have things that are more right. serious. But let's say, sure. you know, somebody had something very serious, but also they had tennis elbow or carpal tunnel or something, but they also mm-hmm. had, you know, like a lot of back pain and burning and, you know, all the things that some of your patients, you know, have that are right. on your group or maybe who are listening. But, mm-hmm. you know, the bee venom goes where it's needed most. So it's like you may think you want the bee venom to work on your back right away, but if there's mm-hmm. something else that's, like, more crucial, it's like you might not notice the results as quickly because the bee venom is working on something that you don't even know is an issue. You know right. what I'm saying? So it's not
yes.
it's not going to go to the tenant's elbow right away because that's not that important, even or the mm-hmm. carpal tunnel, even though it might be important to that person. But there may be right. something with nerves or the spinal cord or something in the brain that the bee venom needs to work on. And so we have to be patient. We have mm-hmm. to trust the process. And basically, there are sort of two concepts that I want to start with. One is okay. that bee venom is like a cursor on a computer. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I gather that some of the people who are listening, you know, have access to a computer. So you know what mm-hmm. I mean by you use your mouse or a touch pad where you bring your cursor someplace and you start sure. typing. Well, mm-hmm. with bee venom, let's say somebody was having low back pain or radiating down to their legs or something. So let's say we decided that we were going to do a sting, you know, in the low back or the waist area or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
What we're doing is, if you think about that bee sting, that venom, it's like a cursor on the computer. We're saying mm-hmm. to the body, because it's an emergency, because, you know, bee venom is a poison. It's a toxin, mm-hmm. right? So the body mm-hmm. has to hurry up and get there and break it down, because otherwise you right. could die, right? You know,
right.
so we always do a testing to make sure you're not allergic. But so what we're doing is we're creating, we're touching the cursor. We're saying to the body, come here, break down this bee venom. And then, as an afterthought, the body goes, oh, there's this other problem here besides the bee venom. You know, there's right. some nerves there that need to be healed. There's some chronic pain there that mm-hmm. no medicine has gotten to. Oh, well, as long right. as I'm here as an afterthought, I'll just clean it up. So that's yeah. one of my theories, you know. I can't point to a double-blind study that it does that. But that's right. one of my theories of how mm-hmm. bee venom therapy works. And the people, you know, I was trained under a long legacy of going back to all the way to Hungary. But Dr. Bodog mm-hmm. Beck came to the United States and was in New York City. And he had right. a beehive in his office. And he wrote a book, but it's very old now, re-released. But and then one of his students, his last living students, was a man named Charlie Mraz, and he was mm-hmm. my mentor. He even asked me to marry him, but that's a whole other story. But he was 89, and I was in my 40s. So, but so I come from that lineage of, you know, all the way from Hungary to New York City mm-hmm. to, you know, Vermont, and then, you know, and then right. Charlie Mraz on a plane to China. And, but the other concept that I want to talk about is, mm-hmm. you know how when people, I'm not a hunter, okay, but I'm mm-hmm. sure that there are people out there who hunt, you know, and mm-hmm. you know how, like, if you're maybe, wanting to shoot a duck down, you might have some right. decoys of ducks mm-hmm. that are wooden or something in the lake. Mm. And
sure.
So what we do with, you know, if you have an autoimmune disease, the body's basically attacking itself. And you could even, in a sense, include cancer as part of that as well. But mm-hmm. any autoimmune disease, let's just pick MS for the moment.
Okay, yeah, because I have a lot of people with MS.
Right, so with MS, the body is attacking the myelin sheath, right? And so mm-hmm. it sort of eats away at it, and it's destroying, you know, something that's really important for the body and for those nerves. And so what right. then happens is the signal from the brain to the foot doesn't get down there because the insulation, which is really the myelin sheath, has been eaten mm-hmm. away because the body's attacking itself. So mm-hmm. what I'm doing is with a decoy, and I'll go back to the myelin sheath in a minute, but with the decoy effect, the venom is a poison and a foreign protein that's introduced, you know, into the body. And so the body has to break it down as quickly as possible. And the venom stays in the body for 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So guess what? During those four, I'm getting the chills because it's so important. This concept is really, you know, giving me goosebumps. But
right.
the idea is we are distracting the body. It's like a magic trick. It's like mm-hmm. magician, heal thyself, instead of physician, heal thyself. We're playing magician. We're not playing God. We're playing magician. Mm-hmm. And we're forcing the body to break down the bee venom. And during those 48 hours, when it's breaking down the bee venom, it's mm-hmm. not breaking down the myelin sheath. And mm-hmm. so because of that, very often people with MS get tremendous relief from the bee venom because the myelin sheath is not being broken down, so they have more conductivity. Now, I'm just going to add one little piece. You know, there are a lot of components in bee venom, just like if you were to eat a steak or if someone's a vegetarian, you know, a veggie burger or something like that. There are a lot of components and proteins and amino acids and things that are in the bee venom. It's all mixed together, and there are 76 components we know about, and maybe, you know, hundreds more we don't know about. So there's a particular component in bee venom that is very good for MS, and it's called apamin, A-P-A-M-I-N. And it's small enough to cross the blood-brain barrier, which is very important for neurological conditions and any problems related to the nervous system. So the apamin does not regenerate the myelin sheath. I wish, you know, if I said it did, I'd be lying. I wish it did. But it doesn't regenerate the myelin sheath. I've heard through the grapevine there, trying to, you know, clone sheep or something and use their myelin to get the MS patients. And who knows what will come down the road long after I'm gone, but because I'm almost 70 years old. But but basically, what happens with the apamin, because it crosses the blood-brain barrier and it gets in there and it heals what's going on in the brain. And so then what happens is the transmission of the information from the brain to, let's say you want to move your foot, but you're in a wheelchair, you know, and, you know, you haven't been able to walk for a long time. So you're kind of stuck in that wheelchair. All right. So all of a sudden the apamin allows the information to go from the brain to the foot and eventually, and we have a video on the chronic pain site that Dan, you and I have worked on, and I guess Brian's also there too. But there's some videos on there that show people with MS who are, you know, left their wheelchairs behind. But and I have a lot of stories that I could share about people who, you know, after 7 months, you know, I was there when they took their first steps, you know, and it's like watching a baby, you know, who's you know, a year old or something. And it's like, you know, they haven't walked in maybe 10 years. And, you know, it's interesting. I was reading up some material and, you know, on some of the things that your listeners are dealing with. And it said that people, when their illness is caught early, they seem to respond better. And I'm going to make another statement that might contradict that. My experience, and I'm not a doctor, and I'm not making any false promises here, but my personal experience is that often people who've been sick the longest, who've had the pain the longest or had the illness the longest, sometimes those people respond faster than people who have only been, you know, struggling for a year. And I can't really explain it except to say that their body was so hungry and so thirsty for that venom or the components in that venom that allows them to get their lives back, you know, to hold a grandchild or to walk when they were in a wheelchair or a scooter, you know, it's really quite remarkable. So, I mean, I've seen people at all different levels. I've seen people do a lot of things. I've seen people with MS, for example, just say, I only want to stay at 8 stings. And that's my magic number. That's the number I'm comfortable with. And that I, you know, I can live with that number and my life is much improved because of that. And, you know, whereas somebody else who, you know, is in a wheelchair who has no feeling at all in their legs, you know. You know, they might need more things, you know, or they can't move their arm. They can't feed themselves, you know. They might need more things. So, you know, it would depend every, it's not just every illness, because the truth is, I don't really treat symptoms, and I don't treat ailments or illnesses. I treat people. And so every person would be different to me, you know. I would take everything in. I would look at the whole person. If they got sick 7 years ago, I had somebody actually, I did a phone consult with someone recently from Florida, and her pain started 7 years ago. So one of my first questions was, what happened 7 years ago? And it turned out that her mother had passed away. And, you know, so it's very important to look at, you know, what happened with each person. It's like a puzzle. And you have to put all the pieces together. If somebody has MS, but they're living in a house full of mold, you know, then, you know, they may not make as much progress with the bees as somebody who's not living in a house with mold, because mold, you know, can create a lot of symptoms. So if we just exclude mold from the equation and we're just dealing with, you know, people living in a clean environment. I've never seen bee venom fail in my 23 years for any ailment.
And that's good.
I've treated over 60,000 people. So, you know, and all quite happy with the results. Now, granted, they needed to stay with the protocol. You know, you might say stick with the program, you know, like basically follow the rules. So, you know, you don't start just because most of your pain is in your foot, you don't start swinging the foot. Okay?
Right.
So we have certain cardinal rules. It's sort of like funny, but it's like I have in my protocol, I have 12 cardinal rules that you can't, that are mandatory, kind of, that you can't breach. You know, like you can't sting if you're pregnant, you know, because you might have a miscarriage as one of them. But I say it's kind of like a 12-step program because there are 12 rules, you know. But basically, you want to stay on the trunk of the body, the torso, you know. So depending, I mean, if somebody had Lyme disease, you know, I would treat that person differently. I would say you don't sting from, you know, above, you know, above, let's say, the first thoracic, that bump. You know, in other words, you don't sting the neck or the head, and you don't sting the low back at all. And you kind of stay between, you know, the beginning of the neck, at the bottom of the neck, the big bump, and the waist, for Lyme patients, and you stay there for 3 months. And then after that, you can start with testings in and out really fast and just explore new areas. But if someone doesn't have Lyme disease, if they don't have, like, a bacteria or a pathogen or a parasite, you know, or a fungus or something that, you know, that they're, that's, for example, even candida, you're going to have die-off if you sting somebody, and you, if you're killing something, then you have die-off and you need to do a detox protocol, you know, on the days that you're not stinging. So that's, you know, it's all in the protocol that we have pasted on the, in the group page. But basically, if you, if you're not trying to kill something and you're dealing with an autoimmune disease or chronic pain, you know, then you don't necessarily have to do a detox protocol unless taking an Epsom salt bath makes you feel good. You know what I'm saying? Then you can do it. But you wouldn't want to do it on the same day that you stung, because you might, you know, pull some of the venom out. So, you know, there's certain rules that you need to follow. Like, you can't drink alcohol, or actually you can't even put alcohol on the skin. Like, if you think, oh, I'm going to clean my low back, so I want to sting there, and I used an alcohol swab, and like, then you sting and you negate all the venom, you know. So you don't want to do that, and you don't want to drink alcohol 24 hours before or after stinging because you might go into anaphylactic shock. So, but, you know, that's right. The only reason. It's not that I'm against drinking. It's just that, bee venom and the alcohol don't really mix all that well. So, and we also, we don't want to dilute the venom. So we don't want to, unless, if we do a chest sting, and our tongue and our throat starts to swell up, you talked about safety. One of the things we want to have around us, everybody needs an EpiPen. Unfortunately, it's a prescription. It's been in the news recently, with the whole scandal of it being costing so much money. But there, somebody recently told me that she got one for $22. So, it is possible to find ways to get a generic. EpiPen if your doctor orders it that way, and sometimes they're coupons. But you need your own EpiPen that's not expired, and you need children's liquid Benadryl and some Benadryl capsules. I say children's liquid Benadryl because adult Benadryl has alcohol in it. So if for some reason you felt like your throat was closing up, or you got hives, or with a testing or something, or you felt like you were having trouble breathing and your throat was closing, you start with Benadryl, but this is all spelled out in the protocol, but you start with the liquid Benadryl, and if, 30 seconds go by or 45 seconds go by, and it's, you're feeling like you might go into anaphylactic shock, then you use the EpiPen. But, I've been doing this 23 years. I've been doing it on people and animals and, even horses. Mm-hmm. I had 4 EpiPens with me for a huge horse. I've never had anybody go into anaphylactic shock just because I know how to follow the rules. But to go back to if somebody's having pain in their ankle, I really don't want them to sting their ankle at the beginning. Right. I want everybody to stay on the trunk of the body for the first 1 to 3 months, depending on what ailment it is. And if you eventually want to get to your ankle or knee or something, or you have pain going down the back of your leg, let's say, I'm sure people who are listening have pain that's all over their body, in many different directions. So you might want to choose a direction once you've stung, the back or the abdomen for the first month or two or three. Then you start with one testing per session, and you decide on a direction you want to go, let's say your left knee, and just you keep doing the back stings, but you do one testing per session, and you keep gradually 1 inch by 1 inch, whatever, goes down the back of the leg till you get to some of the areas where you're having the pain. Then you can palpate, and find sore spots, or you can just basically, if your goal is to get to the back of the knee, you want to go down the back of the leg. If you want to go to the side of the knee, you're going to use your testings and go down the side of the leg. But, please don't jump from stinging your back for, let's say, 1 or 2 or 3 months, and then jump and start and do, 8 stings on your left knee or something. You know what I mean? It's like that's not the way it's done, at least. That's not the way I do it. So, people that I work with need to follow my rules because not that I'm so great. It's just that I've learned from experience. Trust me, I really don't want to make the same mistake more than once. And I don't want anybody else to make the mistakes that I made. So the protocol is only there to help people not move. Like, I did jump to an ankle sting because the patient was begging me to, and I did, she had arthritis, in both ankles, and she was a friend of mine, and she did the drawings for my first book, and I just, it's like I didn't have enough experience. It was right at the beginning as I was writing my book, so it was like maybe 6 months into working with people, and she was begging me. Well, she was very heavy set, and what I didn't know was that she was going to be flying to Hawaii after she left my house. and her legs were going to be hanging down, you know, for, you know, 10 or 12 hours or something. So, you know, I learned from experience, and thank God, you know, she was a friend and she didn't sue me, but she ended up having to go to the hospital when she got there. So I definitely see there's a big risk in going to the extremities early. The temptation is there to go where the pain is, but there are, you know, there are places on the spine. See, the nerves come out of the spine, and I posted a nerve chart or a link to a nerve chart where if people want to go to their knee, it'll show you, you know, from the waist down, basically you're looking at your leg, and basically from the middle of your back, you're looking at trying to deal with some of your organs. So let's say somebody was having a problem with their spleen or their liver or kidneys or something, then you could focus on your organs in the mid back. And then as you go higher up, you know, on the shoulders or the neck, eventually you're going to be working with the arm. So you actually don't have to go off the trunk of the body to get to the toes or the ankle, you know, and I had to learn not to let patients push me to do something that was even against my own protocol because I wanted to please them. Because my tendency is, you know, I'm a people pleaser. So it's like, I want to help people. But after that one experience, it just took that one experience and I never did it again. And I just decided, you know, like I have a consent form. I have everybody sign a consent form that they understand, you know, that it's possible they could go into anaphylactic shock and that they could die. That's why they need your EpiPen, and that they're agreeing to do this out of their own free will. So, you know, the safety net is built in there. You know, I've never been sued. I've never, you know, had anybody be disappointed with the beast. Right. But, you know, I've had people decide to not follow the rules. Say, I think, you know, I know that Amber doesn't want me to do this, but I'm just going to do it anyway, like being a maverick or something. And then they regret it. So, and they only do it once. And then they go back to, it was like I shouldn't have jumped, you know, from my back to my knee, but my knee was killing me. So that's a temptation. And the goal is we have to look at the big picture. And the goal is not to just treat symptoms, but we really want to get to the root of the problem. Because otherwise you go doctor shopping and you're just going, you know, from one doctor to the next. And you keep, you know, all the treatments seem to be failing because we're just treating symptoms. So I really don't want to, I really want people to have relief, but I don't want to just treat symptoms. That's why I treat people. And I try to get, at the beginning, to get to the nerve bundles that are coming out of the spine that, let's say, if somebody really, you know, if I'm looking at them and they really have problems mostly from the waist down, that's where I'm going to focus on the low back because those nerves go down there. But if somebody has Lyme disease, I don't want to go below the waist because there are a lot of nests that are down there. So, but if they don't have Lyme disease or, you know, we're not killing off, you know, some kind of bacterial infection or pathogen or something, if it's just truly, truly pain and the nerves are inflamed and overreacting and misfiring, you know, and sending constant pain signals to the brain, you know, we want to find a way to calm down those nerves. And by putting the bee venom there as a cursor and as a decoy, the body has to break down the bee venom because it's an emergency. And during that time period, it's not misfiring, and it's not sending those false signals to the brain. And at the same time, as an afterthought, when the bee venom is being cleaned up, then, you know, maybe the body is going to remember how to heal itself. You know, because at one time, when we were born, unless we were born with something that was congenital, you know, obviously, but, you know, at some point, we were all well, or we were better than we are now, and so we want to get back to that place, like Dorothy and Toto are trying to get home to a time and a place before we were well. So now I've probably talked your ear off, so if anybody has questions, or, but
well,
I'm just looking at my notes. Let me just, I can keep going? All right, just looking at my notes, I want to emphasize that bee venom is anti-inflammatory. So everybody listening, all of us, and I include myself here, you know, because I broke my spine so three times already. So, but, and they said I would never walk again. So, you know, I'm a medical, you know, miracle here with the bees. But, but basically, bee venom, among its many qualities, is anti-inflammatory. So most people probably listening have some kind of inflammation, and it's chronic. And with bee venom, I mainly work with chronic ailments. I don't, if somebody has just broken their leg, I'm not stinging them. I don't care how much they beg me. I do not work with acute ailments, something that just happened. You know, because the body's trying to heal itself and it'd be too much of a shock to do the bee venom. But if something's chronic and it's been there a long time, then I'm taking a chronic situation and I'm elevating it to an acute level. The body has to break down this poison that we're basically injecting. It's almost like, you know, how Botox works too. You know, it's a similar type of thing. But basically, the body, you know, has to break down that bee venom, and eventually the body remembers how to heal itself. And it sort of, you know, what we're trying to do is go back to, you know, almost like reverse, you know, the process that has gotten people to where they are now, whether it was a nerve injury or surgery or a muscular skeletal injury, car accident, whatever it was, you know, immobilization, whatever it was that got you to where you are now, and you want to have a low pain day, because I see that posted all the time in your group. You know, I will say this, that again, the apamine is very good for the nervous system and MS-like issues and anything related to nerve misfiring and pain signals and that kind of thing. But two other components, one is melatonin, the other is adalapin. And those are both anti-inflammatories that are 100 times stronger than a cortisone shot from one bee sting. It's stronger than a cortisone shot. So anything that has responded even temporarily to steroids has a tendency to do very well with bee venom. You know, so you can ask away. I mean, I know I've kind of gone on and on, but...
Yeah, no, no, I appreciate it. That's what I wanted you to do. I want you to, because I want, I'm trying, and I want this group to grow as well as you do. So I'm going to mention it. It's helping chronic pain with bee venom. Me and Amber are in the group. I started it some time ago after we did our first show, or I think right before or after we did the first show. And there's a lot of good information in there, and whatever information that I go to put in the group, I either ask Amber or Amber tells me, hey, you know, that's not good, good info. So I take it out. So there's very good info in this group. It's a small group, but I want people to understand and realize there is more out here than just pain medication and medications. There's, you know, there's bee venom, not taking away nothing. There's red light therapy, some floating thing that they got now. So there's some things out here that I want the community to know that is available to them, you know, and I want them to know what bee venom helps with, like you've went over. You know, a lot of people, I think, Amber, worry about being allergic to the honeybees, but like we have talked before, and correct me if I'm wrong, said most of the time they're allergic to other type of bees or wasps, not so much honeybees. Is that right. correct? Did I say that right? Okay. Because I want them to.
That
go
is
ahead.
Correct.
Okay.
People often think, you know, like I know when I was a child, I stepped on a wasp, and my mother put mud on it. You know, they're like, you know, just like bee venom is an old wives' tale. It's a, you know, it's been around for thousands of years. Okay. But you know, when you step on a wasp and you're a little child, it hurts. Now my foot swelled up, but that doesn't mean I'm allergic. So I want to say there's only one true allergy. And by the way, the venom from wasps, hornets, yellow jackets, bumblebees, whatever, it's much stronger and we don't use that. And it doesn't have the components that we're looking for. It doesn't have the melanin if you're a Lyme patient. And, you know, it doesn't have all of the wonderful components. And honeybee venom is the safest. And fewer people are allergic to honeybee venom. And I forgot to mention in my cardinal rules the vitamin C, because it does go with the allergy thing. Everybody needs to be on 3,000 milligrams of vitamin C every day, even on non-sting days. When you're not stinging, you still have to be taking the vitamin C. So you have to find a brand, and I don't own a company or anything. I'm not pushing anything. But you have to find a brand of vitamin C that you like. Some people like Emergency because it's easy. You open it and put it in some water. It's a packet, and you get 1,000 milligrams. Other people like Ester C or liposomal. Some people have, you know, stomach problems with vitamin C or something. You know, it's like acidity. So we don't necessarily recommend ascorbic acid, but if you, you know, that's all you can afford and you do okay with it, it's fine. But here's the issue. When you're stung by a honeybee, the adrenal glands are stimulated to either produce or regulate the amount of cortisol that's in your body. So we're talking about natural cortisol, not a cortisone shot you would get from a doctor or prednisone that you might take orally, steroids or something. But we're saying your body makes its own steroids, okay? And they're made by the adrenal glands. And one of the raw ingredients to make this cortisol is vitamin C. So let's say you tried to make chocolate chip cookies, but you didn't put any chocolate chips in there. You're not going to have a chocolate chip cookie. But that's not as serious. If you actually sting someone with a bee and they don't have enough vitamin C, they might break into hives. They might go into anaphylactic shock because the body is frantically trying to make this cortisol, but it can't make it because it doesn't have the right ingredients. It's sort of like trying to make bread, you know, and you don't have the yeast, so it's not going to rise. Or going to the hardware store to buy bread. They don't sell it there, you know. So, you know, that's why the vitamin C is so important. So I had forgotten to say that. So, you know, I've had people who were actually really, you know, deathly allergic to yellow jackets. And, you know, and how you know it's a yellow jacket or a wasp or a bumblebee or something is that the stinger is not left in the body because there are very few barbs. So a yellow jacket could sting you, let's say, 100 times, whereas a honeybee can only sting you once, and a stinger stays in. So the honeybee gets free and flies away, but the stinger is still left in. That's how you know it was a honeybee. But I always do a testing. Even if people think they're not allergic, I always do a testing.
Just to be safe,
And if you've been, let's say you went on vacation for 2 weeks or even 7 days, I always do a testing to start off with. So you have to be prepared, though, for something called a healing crisis, you know, that your body might feel like you have the flu at the beginning.
Sure.
You know,
we had a caller.
We had one.
They hung up. I was trying to get to them, and they hung up.
I talked too long.
If they want
to call back.
if you're listening, you got about 15 minutes. You can call back. I'll get to you. I just wasn't going to interrupt Amber where she was talking. So if you want to call back, feel free to call back and we'll take your question. But yeah, no, I just love this thing about bee venom. Oh, Brian's asking me something here. He said, ask her, when can we do, what? Ask her, what can we do to help stop all this spraying that is killing bees off? Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, that's my heartbreak. You know, people say that they're upset when we do bee sting therapy and the bee dies. You know, well, you know, the government is, you know, doing all this spraying. And before we had the spraying for Zika, you know, the government's using pesticides, you know, and Monsanto and a lot of other big companies are, you know, they're actually impregnating, you know, this these insecticides that are inside, you know, the plant itself. So then the pollen is then affected, and, you know,
I'm going to interrupt you. I'm going to interrupt you. Yeah, I'm going to take this call. Hello, caller. You're there. What? You have a question?
Yes, sir. I was just calling to see how well that bee venom works.
Amber's the one to talk to. She's the boss.
I've never seen it fail. What ailment are you struggling with, or is your loved one struggling with?
I have chronic lung disease. I mean, it causes me a lot of pain, and I have to watch. I can't take strong pain medicine because it reacts with my breathing.
Yeah,
so I was seeing if might help with mine.
Yes, I have two books on Lyme disease and bee venom therapy, and we can make sure that you get my email address. And also, if you're on Facebook, are you on Facebook? Because I have a whole group.
Yes,
I have a group on Lyme disease and bee venom therapy. So you could join my group. It's free. And I have a website. A website.
Hey, This is my brother calling in. I just realized that. He pulled a slick one off. But I got all of her stuff. She's on my Facebook, and I'll put you in the group that me and Amber have together. It's Helping Chronic Pain with Bee Venom. I'll go ahead and put you in there. And you look around,
and
man.
Also,
if you have any questions, write Amber. She'll talk to you.
Can you also put him in my Pioneers group?
Yeah,
you
I can
add
put him in.
His name, since you're friends with him on Facebook, you can add him to my Pioneers group. And then, because that's all about Lyme disease.
And he's got everything there.
And all the files are there. And also, I can approve him. You know, once you add him, then it's like, then I can approve him. It'll just say who added him. And if I know it's you, then I'll just approve him. And I have a website that maybe, should I just say the website out loud? So
you can say it. I've got it, too. I can give it to him.
Okay. Well, if anybody else
can get it all. I can get it all from my brother.
Okay.
Yeah, I got all of
this list.
Okay, and everybody, I guess is. Well, the Lyme website is Lyme LYME, like the disease, obviously. Then a hyphen, and then bee venom, BEE venom, like snake venom. You know, venom.com. So lyme-bvenom.com, and it has a video of all my speeches, and it has videos, radio shows that are similar to this one. I had like 20 hours of radio shows that I did last year, you know, on similar kind of online radio like this. And that is specifically, that particular website and that Facebook group is specifically for Lyme. But I've been thinking about, I don't know if I'm going to do it within the pain and, mm-hmm. you know, the chronic pain website, or whether I might decide to start another website that's just general, but, you know, so anybody can have anything and come to that website and be approved, and that I will help them with any ailment, you know.
I think, Amber, I think I have, and Brian's listening, so if not, Brian, you need to get on it. Make sure that Amber's websites are on my website. I think they are, Amber. I'm not sure, but Brian's listening to the show, so he's not feeling good this evening. He's hurting pretty bad, so I'll have him check that out when he gets a chance and make sure. And my brother,
I can add it.
Okay, yeah, whatever you need to do. And you're brother, you're running under your girlfriend's Facebook, right?
Yeah, brother, yeah.
Okay.
Nancy,
right, I'll put it up.
You tweeted all on her. So you didn't think I listened to you, did you?
No, I didn't. You fooled me.
See? We listen every night. This is something that sounds like I'm like to try to see if it would help with my, you know, the pain from me not being able to breathe.
Yeah.
I have a question for your brother. Do you happen to know if you have any co-infections like Bartonella or something
like that? No, I'm just got a terminal lung disease. You know, I just can't get no relief.
I guess with that kind of pain, is it mostly in like your bones? Is it like your bones in general? Your joints?
No, it's like from my chest all the way around my left side, all the way to my spine, up over my, on my left side. See, my lungs do it. It don't expand it. Every breath I take, it's only about a quarter of an inch from my rib cage. And every time I take a breath, it don't expand. It just beats up against that rib. Oh. So it's like somebody constantly kicking you. Every breath you take, it's like somebody's kicking you with a booter.
I definitely understand, because I've had breathing problems, and I've had pain, so I hear you. There are some acupuncture points that are right on the rib cage there, that especially if you're feeling frustrated about this problem that you've been having that's chronic, you probably need liver 13 and 14 to be opened up. Gate of Hope and Chapter Gate, you need to start a new chapter in your life. Where you're pain-free. Mm-hmm. I mean, that would be my goal, would be to help people who are in pain to be pain-free, you know?
Yeah,
but, I mean, it's not really about me. It's the bees are the one, you know, the bees are the magical creatures, and the venom is what does the work. So I would just listen to what you're saying, and I might put the bee in a certain spot because of my knowledge of acupuncture, but... The bottom line is the venom does the work.
Right. See, I don't want on that strong pain medicine. Like, they want me on morphine, Percocet. Because I'm also a recovering addict. So even though mine's terminal, I'm turning down the medicine they want to give me because I'm an addict. So I would just, I'm just shooting time for anything that might be natural that might give me a little relief.
So I don't know if you were tuning in earlier, but I was talking about, like, I have 12 cardinal rules, like it's kind of like a 12-step program for the bees. So it's like it goes along with what you said. But what I'm trying to do right now is just spread a little hope because, you know, I can't sting anybody over the phone or on the radio, you know, literally. But I can tell you how to do it, and I can say that, you know, I have so many stories that were just, you know, people who were blind who can now see, you know, people who were in wheelchairs who can now walk, people who would, you know, I mean, probably the best pain case that I had was somebody did one bee sting, you know, on his knee, and this chronic leg, back, everything pain just totally disappeared with one beat. But, I mean, that is like an exception. You know, that's like just more of a miracle than, you know, but I did have somebody who had two sessions and regained her eyesight. I mean, cookies on Christmas, you know. But, you know, those are the exceptions. Usually it takes a little bit longer. But, you know, I understand, and I have a whole group for Lyme disease, and that's totally different, and I definitely would not want you to sting below your waist or above, you know, in the neck area at all. You would be mostly stinging from the waist to the big bump, or you could sting by the rib cage. You could, you know, and I'm willing to help you. You know, we can have a conversation in group.
Okay.
If Dan puts you in the group, and you can say you were on the radio show and you like what you heard, and you want to learn
just
more.
Tell you my brother. It's just he's my brother, so he'll tell you. I'm adding him to the groups as we speak. Him and his girlfriend are on the same Facebook, but I'm adding him right now. So,
All right. So when I am right now, my eyes are closed. If I want to be concentrating and focusing, I'm not looking at the computer at all. I'm not even looking at my notes. I'm just, you know, going stream of consciousness, you know, but, you know, there is hope, and there's no reason that you can't, you know, even if you're on medication, the only, there is a medication that you can't be on, not because it interferes with bee venom, but because it interferes with the EpiPen if you go into anaphylactic shock. So, and that's called a beta blocker. So if anybody's listening is on a beta blocker, the EpiPen probably is not going to work unless you're on a very low dose beta blocker. And I heard a rumor, I don't know if it's true, you'd have to check with your doctor, but that if you had two EpiPens, that the second EpiPen might work if you're on a beta blocker. The other thing is if you have a pacemaker in you, the EpiPen might not work. So those are a couple things to think about. And the other thing is if you're on heavy-duty blood thinner like Coumadin, like I had a blood clot, and so I stopped stinging because I was on Xarelto, and, you know, bee venom thins the blood. So, you know, you don't want, you know, to thin the blood more than what the drug is already doing, because you might end up, you know, if you cut yourself by accident with a kitchen knife, you know, you're cutting up carrots or something, you know, you might be bleeding a lot. So, in general, I mean, I've strung people even on morphine or prednisone, and I do recommend if somebody's going to pick something like Tylenol or Advil, I'd rather have them be Tylenol because Advil is a blood thinner. You know, so, I mean, there are case-by-case basis, and I think it's more of a risk when you're coming off a medicine than when you're on it. Because when you start to come off a medicine, you know, it takes a while for the body and the withdrawals and all of that for the medicine to be totally out of your system. And then let's say you were doing 10 bee stings for 3 months or something, and then you finally came off. This is a real example. Somebody came, she was stinging for a whole year, and she decided she was ready to come off her prednisone. And she was doing 20 stings. She had MS. And she was doing 20 stings three times a week. And her father was treating her. She had started to come to my free clinic, and then her father was stinging her because it was a hassle to come. So she finally came off the prednisone, and two weeks went by, and she wanted to celebrate by having me sting her on the two-week anniversary of her being off her prednisone, right? Okay, so this is one of my first, I'm going to call it mistakes, but my first experiences where I learned, it's like a stepping stone rather than a mistake, you know, as long as you learn from something. So I did the 20 stings she was used to, but now that prednisone was no longer in her system, and she was used to, you know, the bee venom, you know, sort of being blocked by some of that prednisone. And now all of a sudden, those 20 bee stings were like 50 or 40 or something. You know what I mean? So
Right. She
was in my living room along with 30 other people. And I'm seeing somebody else now. And I'm hearing somebody sneezing, like somebody's having a reaction in my living room. So I go out there and her face is really red. And I grab my Benadryl and I make her drink 8 ounces of Benadryl. I was really scared because I didn't want her to go into anaphylactic shock, and she didn't. But what I learned from that experience is that when someone comes off a medicine and that medicine is out of the system for about 2 weeks, that the venom is so much stronger. So you have to really cut back on the number of these things as you're cutting back on your medicine. That's all I'm going to say on that. But that's just an example. You know, I'm not a medical doctor, and I'm not recommending withdrawing from medicines, you know, that you're taking. But if you and your doctor decide you want to come off the medicine and you're doing bee stings, you have to think about maybe the bee stings are going to be more powerful. That's all.
Sure. Amber, I've got to end this show. We're running over. But it's been a pleasure having you on. Brother, I got you in both groups. You're in my group. And I sent them into your group too, Amber. So they're in both groups. They're in both groups. I just put them in a few minutes ago.
The link to this recording will be in Pioneers as well.
Yes, it's so in there. It'll be the same.
Like an archive link.
Yeah, it'll be the same one. If you have any problems with it, let me know, and I can get you. I can get you another one.
They just click on it.
All right, brother. I'm out of here.
All right, buddy. You take care. Okay. I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Be well.
All right. You too, Amber. And thank you so much. And we'll do this again someday soon.
I love it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you.
I'm in my element, you know. I love it.
Well, we're going to get this group rolling. I'm going to focus more on it. So we'll get it up and going. Thank you very much, my friend. I appreciate it. Okay. Take care.
All right.
Good night.
Blessings. Good night.
All right. Same to you. Good night. Good night, Wayne.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.